You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 24th, 2020, I don't care what you think about President Trump. If you accept the fact that life is important and life begins long before pro-choice is what have you believe it, you have to appreciate this president, for the first time any president, stepping forward to address the thousands of pro-life supporters gather on the National Mall for the annual March of Life. And President Trump stating, in part, every child is a sacred gift from God. We're going to get more into that in the next segment. China lockdown, dealing with this virus, now extending to five cities, 20 million people locked down under that. And we're told the military is now being called out in China to make sure they can quarantine people. And there's also word the communists have known this was spreading for weeks and didn't say anything about it. And they're also reportedly saying the virus can be traced to snakes. It can be transmitted person to person, but the original source might be snakes. In the meantime, U.S. airports, with the orders of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, displaying posters in both English and Chinese at 14 American airports, raising awareness of this virus. Shanghai Disneyland announcing that park's going to be temporarily closing, as will part of the Great Wall of China, all because of concerns about that virus. There have been reports of a case in Chicago, possibly one in Texas, one apparently confirmed in Washington State. There will be more. According to a new survey in the Sunshine State, President Trump is leading the top candidates in the Democrat primary field when it comes to Florida. He out-topped every one of them. 49% for Trump against Biden at 45%. 50% for Trump against 43% for Warren. Same for Trump versus Buttigieg. And when it comes to Bloomberg, Trump 49%, 5 points ahead of Bloomberg. President Obama apparently growing a little increasingly anxious that Bernie Sanders continues to rise in the polls. And reportedly, according to sources, Obama has remained largely silent over the course of this primary, getting so concerned about Sanders' increasing rise that he might issue a statement. He doesn't want Bernie Sanders to be the president. He does not think it'd be good for the nation. And of course, he hasn't really endorsed Obama. He hasn't endorsed Biden either. We'll see what he does, if he does at all. Iran wants to do whatever it can to get even with us for taking out Soleimani, their chief terrorist. And now a senior Iranian political strategist linked to the Islamic Revolutionary Guards says what we need to do is take Americans hostage and demand ransoms and get money back into our country by holding Americans hostage. No, we won't pay for hostages, but they think we will. So Americans are going to be in a greater threat. And in the meantime, you want proof again that we must have better vetting of anyone coming into this country, that we must have good border security. American authorities say they've identified and apprehended three Syrian nationals accused of belonging to al-Qaeda. They had fake passports and still got into our country, at least into Dallas, and now we've got them in custody. The Food and Drug Administration deciding to grant an access for employees, or rather treatments employing the drug commonly known as Ecstasy. That's right. They're going to allow them to use ecstasy in treating some diseases. You know, of course, even though some states have legalized marijuana, you cannot get on a flight that would still be violation of federal law. So some airports, such as in Chicago, they have what they call a cannabis amnesty box. You're getting ready to board and you realize, oh, shoot, I'm carrying some marijuana. They give you a little box, you can put it in, and you still board the plane. They're not going to charge you. Well, somebody said, hey, man, I'd like something, and there's some marijuana in that damn box there, and stole marijuana from the cannabis amnesty box. Did try to board a plane, but did make off with marijuana that others had turned in so they wouldn't be charged. Yep, they're still looking for him. They'll find him somewhere, probably smiling.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So thousands are gathered at the National Mall in D.C. for the 47th annual March for Life, celebrating the sanctity of life from conception to death, advocating for overturning Roe v. Wade. That, of course, was the 73 U.S. Supreme Court ruling that made abortion on demand the law of the land. And since that time, 60 million deaths of unborn children. 60 million, and that's probably a low number. And a vast majority of them would be minorities. You think it's not a genocide against minorities? It clearly is. But President Trump, becoming the first president in history throughout all those years to gather with these marchers and address them. Even Ronald Reagan didn't do that. But here was President Trump addressing them and saying, every child is a sacred gift from God. So the president, in doing that, is gaining points, even for those who don't like him in some things. But when you look at the latest facts, maybe some of those so insistent upon killing babies should take note of this. There's a new study. Medical researchers, one claiming to be a pro-choice pain expert, claim that unborn babies can feel pain before 24 weeks and possibly as early as 12 weeks gestation. In other words, when you look at these folks trying to abort at any point, and some of them now saying fourth trimester, which is basically as a baby's being born, long before then, they would be able to experience pain. They state that there never was a consensus that fetal pain is not possible before 24 weeks. Many papers discussing fetal pain speculated a lower limit for fetal pain under 20 weeks. We note that right now, based on scientific research, a baby can feel pain as early as 12 weeks. 12 weeks. You know what gets me about this? Some of the same people that are all for the choice of the woman and forgetting about the baby, and if the woman who wants to abort had been aborted by her mother, this baby, this issue wouldn't exist by this particular woman. But so many of them out there on the left are tree huggers to the extent that you hurt a tree every time you cut one down. The tree has pain. Flowers have pain when you pick them up and you pull them. And fish, of course, when you're fishing, you're causing pain. They have concerns for pain for all of these, but not the unborn child. So I'm glad to see President Trump addressing this crowd and taking a firm, solid stand. And in fact, he's also, as of today, creating pro-life voices for Trump. They've named a woman who's the president of the Susan B. Anthony list to head up pro-life voices for Trump. All of it, hopefully, would begin to turn the corner on abortion. And the real issue is Roe v. Wade making a federal ruling imposed upon states. If you had that reversed, abortions would not stop, but they would go back to the state making a decision. There are among these thousands participating numerous students from colleges. In fact, one of them from Colorado Christian University. And the director of the Centennial Institute at that university is leading about 100 to 150 kids in the march. And he was excited when he heard that President Trump was going to be attending.
This is really a historic moment. From a purely policy perspective, Donald Trump is the most successful pro-life president in the history of this country. He has done a wonderful job attacking the abortion industry and their for-profit efforts to make money off of death. He has appointed judges that are going to return to a constitutional approach, the original intent of the Constitution, not taking their position as a moment to legislate from the bench, but instead returning to co-equal branches of government. I am just thrilled with all that he's done to defend religious freedom, the rights of conscience, to defund Planned Parenthood, to appoint these judges that are going to interpret the Constitution as it's written. And these are big moments. These are the stepping stones that we've been waiting for to eventually end abortion in this country.
Those are the words of Jeff Hunt, director of the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University. As I said, he's leading about 100 to 150 students from that university as taking part in the march in D.C. right now. I want to come back to him in a moment because the fact that these students are there brings another story to mind, which we'll touch on in a moment. But first, I want to bring you up to speed on what a pro football player is doing. New England Patriots tight end Benjamin Watson. He said he's pretty close to finishing up a pro-life themed abortion movie. A pro-life documentary, a $1 million budget, featuring Secretary of Housing Ben Carson, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece, Alveda King, and others. He is the executive producer, Watson, executive producer and partially funding this film titled Divided Hearts of America. Watson is obviously a pro-life Christian, and it should make no difference, but I'm going to add this point for you. He is a black man, and he believes and has seen abortion as a way to decimate the black community. If you want to shout Black Lives Matter, look to the abortion clinics. His movie titled Divided Hearts of America, he started it on cameras back in May last year. Now it's in post-production, and they have several pro-life organizations working with him and also adding some of the money. Watson said, I never thought I'd be involved in a movie, but so many different laws have passed in New York, Alabama, Georgia. It seems this issue, which has always been a part of our national consciousness, has ramped up recently. Things are at a fever pitch. My goal is to unveil the truth about abortion, the laws, the history, and where our country is headed. I believe in the sanctity of life, be it in the womb or on your deathbed. That's my conviction. But with the film, I'll engage those who disagree and hear their reasoning. The number one thing I'm looking for is empathy on both sides. Watson recently was in a social media debate with the Hollywood leftist actress Alyssa Milano. And he had tweeted to her that she was condescending toward minorities and her pro-abortion ideals were especially dangerous for women of color. And, of course, then she insisted, you just hate people who choose to make an abortion. Watson's response was, dissenting views should be respected and, in fact, encouraged. There are many people in Hollywood who would consider themselves pro-life, but they feel as though their viewpoint is unacceptable in their industry. So he says, I'm hoping this film will help others better understand the abortion issue. So they're not sure when they're looking to release it, but he's obviously put a lot of work and effort and his own money into it. Most black Americans are not in favor of abortion. And when Trump today creating and endorsing pro-life voices for Trump, that might well bring in more black voters. He's not doing it just for that, but it's going to be something to consider. And black churches, when the founder of Planned Parenthood, back in the early days, Elizabeth Sanger was beginning it, was trying to get black pastors to side with her on aborting black babies. And part of her reasoning, though she was not that direct with them, was, as they said, weeding out the undesirables. And by that, not just black babies, but any baby that might be deformed or not be strong enough, in their view. And so today, once again, we have thousands and thousands inside D.C. protesting in support of pro-life and against abortion. I mentioned the Jeff Hunt, director of Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University, leading students. And he said, I had to tell these students, you got to be careful what you do. And he was referring to the event last year at this time involving the Covington students. Remember that? They were there for a pro-life rally, some of them wearing red MAGA hats. And remember the confrontation that took place as they were challenged and the cameras came rushing in as a Native American Indian banging a drum in front of one of the young men And he just stood there, the young man just stood there smiling and not doing anything to incite or cause trouble. And the mainstream media jumped all over it, trying to paint him as the bad guy when he had done nothing. So Jeff Hunt was telling his students, you got to be aware you're going to be watched every step of the way.
And they went after them and, you know, said they were doing horrible things. But once the truth came out, you realized that these students were actually absolutely in the right in every possible way. And there was an attempt to try to provoke a reaction out of them, and they never responded to that. And so we just communicated to them that in every moment, whether you realize it or not, you were reflecting not only the university, but our faith in Jesus Christ, and you need to take that seriously. We told our students pretty much the same thing. You can be targeted by the media here simply by standing around. And so every moment you're on the record, and every moment the media is watching you, and every moment the media wants to try to find something that they can bring you down for, because they stand so passionately against what we stand for, which is the sanctity of life and the beauty of life. And so you've got to be prepared for that.
That's Jeff Hunt urging his students, be aware. Reflecting back to what happened to Nick Sandman and the Covington students a year ago. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to touch on that subject again of what happened a year ago and how CNN, which had to pay out a large settlement amount of money, has one of their anchors going bonkers, ignoring the past.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the drum began to swing. You should have heard the locked out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody in the old jail box.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So 1 year ago, again, we had marchers, pro-life marchers in D.C. Among them, students from Covington Catholic High School. And one of the students, Nick Sandman. And he was standing there wearing a MAGA hat, Make America Great Again cap. And across the street, there were protesters yelling and shouting at the kids. And at one point, a Native American elder, Nathan Phillips, got right in front of the kid banging a drum. The kid didn't flinch. All he did was just kind of smile. Not smirking, just smiled, just stood there. But the mainstream media piled on him, blaming him for what was going on because he had on the Trump hat. And Cuomo, Chris Cuomo of CNN, was part of that pile-on. He said, this kid, Nick Sandman, he doesn't seem to be afraid, but he did make a choice, and that was to make a standoff. That was not a good choice. What's a kid going to do? He could turn around and walk away, but he would just stand there minding his own business. Cuomo went on to say, if that were my son, who happens to go to a great Catholic school, would I like what he did? If I were there, would I have allowed the kids to be in that situation? No and no. There was a disrespect at play that doesn't work for me in these circumstances. That's because this is a kid. He's not saying this. These are my words. He's a kid. He's wearing a MAGA hat, and he's got a Native American Indian in front of him banging a drum, and the kid's not doing anything. He's just standing there. Keep that in mind. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. At the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin was asked by reporters about Greta Thunberg. Thunberg, of course, the teenager who's been all over the world now proclaiming we need to do more about climate change, spoke to the UN, saying, I shouldn't be here talking to you guys. You should be doing this. I should be home doing my homework. So Treasury Secretary Mnuchin was asked the other day, what do you think about Thunberg's calls for countries to divest from fossil fuels? He said, is she the chief economist? Who is she? I'm confused. After she goes and studies economics in college, she can come back and explain that to us. That's all he said, joking back about it. Chris Cuomo, the very one I just quoted you as calling out Nick Sandman, said he did not like that attack on Thunberg. He said, why do these Trumpers think it's okay to go at a kid? Why do these Trumpers think it's okay to go at a kid? Which is exactly what Cuomo did a year ago. Did he forget? They just went stupid. Apparently CNN had to put out a pretty good amount of money to settle libel and slander and attack suits against Sandman, and other cases are still pending against other news organizations, others that did similar stories, making Sandman, the kid, look like a bad guy. And Cuomo says, why do Trumpers think it's okay to go at a kid? You talk about hypocrisy. It's right there. We'll take a break. We're going to talk about more hypocrisy and media lies and media damn lies and more, and a statement by Hillary Clinton that will have you laughing, if not going driving off the road. Be careful. Coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, a warning. If you're driving, you might want to pull over the side of the road for a moment. Do not want you losing control of your car as you react to what I'm going to tell you about Hillary Clinton. And in fact, if you have any sharp object in your hand, put it down. If you're on the gun range listening while you're getting ready to shoot a few more rounds, put the pistol down for right now, or your AR-50. Just put it down. I want nothing dangerous near you. I don't want you driving in traffic. I don't want you suddenly deciding you want to go fly a plane while you're listening to this program at this moment, because bad things could happen in a hurry. Hillary Clinton said there are not enough... I warned you. She says there are not enough Democrats in the news media. Oh, my God. Are you still there? Did we lose anybody? Everyone still safe? There are not enough Democrats in the news media. She was asked a question by the Hollywood Reporter, which is already leftist anyway. The question was, what a setup. How can the left combat Fox News? Her answer: it's really a shame that all the people who support progressive politics and policies haven't understood that that's exactly the right question to ask. We do have some well-off people who support Democratic candidates. There's no doubt about that. But they've never bought a TV station. They've never gobbled up radio stations. They've never created newspapers in local communities to put out propaganda. That's all been done not just by Murdoch and Fox, but by Sinclair and by the Koch brothers and by so many others who played a long game about how we really influence the thinking of Americans. Has she not heard of the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, PBS, NPR, ABC, CBS? And, of course, Michael Bloomberg, who's his own media outlet. Democrats own all of the establishment media. They own all of Hollywood, all of social media. And she's honestly wants you to believe that the problem we have in this country right now is that we do not have enough Democrats in the media. Good God. There's a new survey out. This is a senior list poll of 1,000 adults. 55% of those surveyed believe the mainstream media is corrupt and that the mainstream media exaggerates most issues. Do you believe the mainstream media is fair and accurate? Now, this program, while I spent decades as a journalist, practicing journalist, folks never knew my politics, nor should they. And stories I did were straight down the line. And sometimes you can't give a fair balance on a story the same day you're airing it. You have to overall make sure you're doing a good balanced story. But you do the best you can. But now, this is my program. It's got my name on it. It's clearly an opinion program, although I still allow and encourage the other side as well. But when you look at CNN and they want you to believe they're a news organization, they're not. Fox News, when they're doing news reports, is, but they also have folks like Hannity and others that are commentators and equating to newspaper columnists. So don't look for what you want to see as fairness at that point. But the whole idea here on this survey also took a look at questions about where you think some false stories have been promoted and pushed. The polls asked why they believe the mainstream media is corrupt. And they cited and signed off on these kinds of things. The Trayvon Martin hoax. The hands up, don't shoot hoax. Trump has no chance of winning. Russian collusion. The Covington kids. Brett Kavanaugh serial rapist. Very fine people hoax. Virginia gun protest is going to be a Klan rally. Jussie Smollett, Ukraine. There's obviously a lot of evidence of false, misleading, flat-out lying stories passing as journalism. And one of those leftists in the media is Brian Stelter of CNN. And he actually asked his Twitter followers yesterday, have I done a good job from staying away from appearing to advocate for impeaching President Trump? He said, I said at the beginning of the impeachment inquiry, journalists shouldn't advocate for an outcome, but should advocate for a well-informed public. So how well have we done on that count? You open that door, they're going to come in, and they did. Some responses, how can anyone at CNN say this with a straight face? No one saying, you're doing it very badly. Journalists need to stop speculating about effects and outcomes and focus on reporting facts, verifying assertions. Another one said, I was an avid viewer of CNN. I believe what your journalists reported. I trusted your network. Now I wouldn't trust CNN to tell me what time it is. Another one saying, you're all doing poorly. All the media has done is push for impeachment. The bias is glaring. Another one stating, pretty funny, journalists, in quotes, have been advocating for an outcome since 2016. Another one, I have to admit, you're one of those journalists I never listened to. You always seem to be out of step with reality. Another one saying, confirmed, CNN has no mirrors in their building. Another one, you seriously need to ask that question? Is this a joke? Another one, you're an 18-wheeler going 100 miles an hour into oncoming traffic, and you have the audacity to put a sticker on saying, how's my driving? Perfect. But he said, I thought we should not be advocating one side of the other. You've been doing that. You've been doing it since he got elected. And you continue pushing that narrative, as you've been doing so in the coverage of it. And yet you want us to believe that you're above the fray, that you're trying to be a true journalist. And just last night, as I was pointing out in the previous segment, Chris Cuomo, not a journalist, a commentator, ripping what he called Trumpers for attacking a kid, Greta Thunberg, forgetting that he personally, verbally, assaulted Ryan Sandman, the kid from Covington Catholic School, last year during the pro-march, the pro-life march. These guys have such small memories. And I'm going to say something, and if it offends you, well, it's already said. It's kind of like, do I ask permission to say it or I just do it and then apologize? Or maybe not apologize. For the men at CNN, NNN, and the rest of the mainstream media, if a particular body part was as big as you think your ethics are, well, you know. I'll let it go at that. But you know. We did have someone pass away yesterday. James Charles Lehrer, executive editor, news anchor for the PBS NewsHour on PBS, a debate moderator during numerous presidential election campaigns. He had his own style. He had his own approach for what he thought should be done. Now, PBS, of course, they do have some good, solid programming, but they also have federal dollars, and they also have tend to lean to the left. But Lehrer had his own approach. And what he did from the beginning of his career shows you that he was getting his bones made on good ethical journalism. And then he had his own list of things he thought journalists, true journalists, should do. Maybe you weren't a watcher of the PBS program, or maybe even a supporter of Lehrer. But I think it's worthy to take a look at his life and his view of how journalists should be doing the job. Unfortunately, he won't be here to continue to push for it, so the rest of us have to do it. We'll take a break. We'll come back and go through some of his rules.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So Jim Lehrer passed away in his sleep. Jim Lehrer, co-founding the groundbreaking news show, the McNeil-Lehrer Report, in 1975. He ended up moderating 12 presidential debates, more than anyone in history. And he had a particular style and approach. Now, Jim Lehrer had begun his work, born in Texas, began his career at the Dallas Morning News. I'm sorry, born in Kansas, I correct that. But he began his career in 1959 at the Dallas Morning News, later as a reporter for the Dallas Times-Herald. He covered the assassination of JFK, a political columnist for several years, then later became the city editor, began his TV career at KERA-TV in Dallas, and then later in 72 moved to PBS. Here were his rules of journalism. I practice journalism in accordance with the following guidelines. I'm not going to cover all of them, but I'm going to give you enough to know, to give you an indication what his views would be compared to what you see and hear on many news organizations and journalists now. Not talking about commentators and columnists. I'm talking about supposedly journalists. Jim Lehrer said, "Do nothing I cannot defend. Do not distort, lie, slant, or hype. Do not falsify facts or make up quotes. Cover, write, present every story with the care I would if the story were about me. Assume there's at least one other side or version to every story. Assume the viewer is as smart and caring and as good of a person as I am. Carefully separate opinion and analysis from straight news and clearly label it as such." There's a big factor right there. A lot of these so-called journalists just start throwing their opinion into the midst of a news story. And at that point, they should be saying, in my opinion, my perspective, in other words, they do nothing. That you think it's all part of the fact of the story. He also said, do not use anonymous sources or blind sources except on rare and monumental occasions. Acknowledge that objectivity may be impossible, but fairness never is. Journalists who are reckless with facts and reputations should be disciplined by their employers. And then this note from him: I'm not in the entertainment business. What I just read for you is not even his complete list of his rules of journalism. But what it amounts to is not just Jim Lehrer's rules of journalism, but what should be basic standards, the gold standard of journalism. Just one, do nothing I cannot defend. Do not distort, lie, slant, or hype. Do not falsify facts or make up quotes. Are you listening to all of these? A lot of journalists, as they call themselves nowadays, don't. They moved far past that. Pardon me. But they either don't know or they don't care. And that's the real sad part of it. I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of the PBS NewsHour because I was usually busy doing my newscast. And I'd heard in some cases that it was slanted more left than maybe I would have liked. But I don't know about how that reflected actually on Jim Lehrer, who, by the way, has a bachelor's degree in journalism from the Missouri School of Journalism at the University of Missouri. But there's an editorial piece I want to share with you. This was written, I believe it appeared in an Arkansas publication. I cannot find the author, I'm sorry, because I always like to give them credit for it. And he's talking about Jim Lehrer's passing. He said, Lehrer was a journalist. He moderated a dozen presidential debates. He guided a longtime news program over the airwaves, and we don't know his political affiliation or if he even had one. He said, we might be able to find political leanings if we spent a few minutes on Google. He said, maybe it was because he was so fair, so above the fray, that candidates asked him to moderate so many presidential debates. He said, here's a compliment only a journalist would understand. We don't remember many of his questions. In other words, he was not making the story about him. And this same piece quotes Tom Brokaw saying, Jim reeks integrity. In other words, a positive thing. Robert McNeil said his idea of fairness is fiercer than anyone's. He has almost a religious respect for being fair. And the writer of this column said, Jim leaves behind a tremendous legacy as a journalist, not a pundit. And that goes back to the last rule of journalism from Jim's personal rules. I'm not in the entertainment business. We need more like him in the news content. We can still have our commentators, things of that nature. That's fine. But when it comes to news and doing it straight down the line, more like that. I thank you for joining us. We'll be back Monday, same time, same place. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.